Sandy, you're back to what you've been doing most of your time here in Cleveland. And before we get to that, taking a look back at last year, did you have a chance maybe a couple of weeks after the season ended to think back and wonder, man, that was about as crazy a year as you may have had in the game of baseball?
Yeah, I had plenty of time to reflect on all that. It was a wonderful experience, man. I, you know, we were transitioning to a new norm, baseball. You know, no fans, wearing masks, isolating hotels, which 60 games seems like there were 150 games. It was a long season, but it was fun on the way that our team persevered. And the experience that I got all of a sudden just thrown out there as a manager was a wonderful experience. And thank you to all the guys that really helped me through that process, like Sarvi, Carl, Kyle Hoxson. I mean, all the coaches, Mike Barnett. It was a fantastic time. Even Mancelino, when he came in, he helped a lot. I think I could have done it without those guys. It was a great time.
I know Tito has said that what you did was extremely difficult, being an interim manager, because you kind of want to do right by him, but also do your own thing. And he said it was important that you know that you should do your own thing. But even with that said, was it difficult to kind of keep that thought process going?
The most difficult part was that I've been separated from the bench and thinking like a manager, because when you coach first base, your focus goes to something else. And on top of that, I was focused with the catchers to get those guys ready for the game. I was more focused in pitching and the running game. And I was hardly ever in the strategy meetings with the manager, because I was doing some other stuff. I can't abandon the catching, you know. And that's the part that when you're told 45 minutes before a game you're going to be the manager, and then I don't even know a sign, okay, I got to adapt real fast. So, but that's when the other guys came to play, you know, Sarvi, Carl, Kyle, and the rest of the coaches. They did a great job helping me through the game until I got my feet wet. Once I got my feet wet, it was a lot easier. I'm not saying there's a cakewalk. Managing, you have to really, you know, strategize prior to the game. Just like a normal, like a player does, player prepare. Managing is the same thing, but, you know, you're doing it from, you have to ride that ship and make sure that your players are coming out to play and motivate guys and make sure that everybody's, healthy enough, and make sure that you give them, attention to everybody. And on top of that, we have a team that we have to platoon outfielders and pinch hit a lot. So all that, you know, coming to play, but the help with the hitting coaches in that area really helped a lot.
Anything along the way in your first real extended chance to manage alter your thoughts in any way, positive or negative, toward wanting to do it on a full-time basis if the opportunity ever came along?
Not really. I live my life day to day. I don't network for trying to, you know, be a manager. I feel like if somebody wants to hire me, I'm there to interview if you want to talk to me. But I'm not a guy that pursue or promote my name. I'd rather just do what I like to do. And if somebody is looking forward to hire me as a manager because I can, you know, help a team win or help it drive players or help them manage a team, then, you know, I'm here. But until then, I'm just enjoying what I'm doing. I'm not bothered about it if I get interviewed or not. I think more people want to see me manage than myself see myself. But yeah, the opportunity comes in. Yeah, any coach should be striving to be a manager
and enjoying what you do. You're here. You are spring training, back in the trenches with your catchers. And how much enjoyment do you get out of that, especially this time of year during spring training?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love working with these guys, especially when you have great defensive catching, man. It's awesome. One of the things that I did when I was managing last year is that I abandoned the catching a little bit. That's what I was mentioning before, because I had to prepare for the game as a manager. I didn't get to do the things that I did with the catchers a lot. Not every day, but many days I was not there for them completely, and that was one of the parts that really bothered me a little bit. Kind of like I don't like to abandon the catching because the guys we have a big trust among each other. We love each other, and we trust everything that we work with.
When you look at this year's team, obviously some changes in the offseason. But even during the time as a player with the Indians and those great teams of the 90s, they had some transitions too. And how do you look at the inevitable in baseball where there's going to be roster changes and how it impacts this year's team?
Yeah, you're always going to go through situations like this. Contract issues, free agency, you try to align yourself to not to lose a lot. You try to align yourself to help your team stay in the fight. I think the Indians, we know that Frankie, he's gone now, and Cookie Carrasco and Carlos Santana, you lost a lot. But also, you got a deal. You got some exceptional players. You also have got Eddie Rosario that is going to help a lot. And then you start kind of like bring back Cesar Hernandez. So our team is pretty much focused on pitching and defense. You saw last year our team was the best defensive team in American League, our pitching has been the things that drive us. So getting Eddie Rosario is going to help a lot. He's been a tremendous hitter in the Central, and we saw that against Minnesota. So probably that's our pitches are going to be better just not having facing Eddie. So I still trust our team. This being the winningest organization in the American League the last 8 years, they know what they're doing. So at the end of the day, you have to position yourself the best way you can under your budget. So that's where we at.
And one of the holdovers, and now one of the longest tenured in the big leagues, Cleveland Indians, is someone I know you work with daily, is Roberto Perez. And back-to-back Gold Gloves may just kind of scratch the surface on what he does defensively. What do you like about him from a catcher's perspective that he does behind the plate?
Well, his preparation is phenomenal. He's one of those catchers that care about being efficient at doing the three things, which is blocking, receiving, and throwing. And Roberto, he wants to do what is best for his pitchers. He's a big caddy back there. He knows when to sail out to frame a pitch. He knows when to block. But he is very proud of not letting balls go by him. So in today's game, which framing is the primary thing for catchers, stealing strikes, he still is on a top tier on all three things, and that's why his defensive run saves are so big, because he practices every single fundamental of catching. At the end of the day, if one day they take they bring the robot umpire, Roberto still haven't made, because he knows how to block, and he can throw. So if you're going to focus all your emphasis on framing alone, and you don't do the other two things, then it's going to be hard for you, because no longer you need to frame if the robotic umpire comes in. Just saying. But you have to be, we enjoy having efficient catching.